back in time about 2,700 years ago and maybe walk in a pasture field around Jerusalem, we might would run into an older couple sitting under a tree, probably having a picnic. Might walk up to them, begin to talk to them, and notice that they're both wide-headed and could tell they were really in love with each other, and might ask them what was the secret to marriage and how long have y'all been together? This couple would probably respond, around 65 years we've been married. Amen, that's a long time. What would you say the secret to this longevity marriage? And a gentleman might look up to you and tell you that, well, I can contribute it to one thing. Love. I mean genuine love. By the way, what are y'all's names? Well, my name is Hosea, and this is my wife, Gomer. How many know the story of Hosea and Gomer? How many don't? I'm just curious. Well, turn your Bibles to the book of Hosea. A true story. Where is Hosea, preacher? It's right after Daniel. If you're still not sure, go to Matthew and go backwards. You'll find it pretty fast that way. The book of Hosea. And let's stand together and read two verses. Hosea chapter 1. This story is a true story. And sometimes God will put us through things so He can help other people. In this particular case, Hosea was a prophet. And he was going to prophesy to Israel, or at least the northern kingdom. And Israel was in a mess at that time. And God used this man's personal life to let him understand exactly how God felt about His people. And if you'll read with me in verse number 2 and 3 of Hosea chapter 1, the Bible says, "Beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed a great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dalim, which conceived and bare him a son." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to pause today. We thank You for all the blessings. And Lord, sometimes we read stories like this in the Bible. It's really, really just hard to understand. But Lord, we know that You teach many lessons through these stories. So Lord, help us today by the aid of Your Holy Spirit to understand this passage today and how it applies to us today, 2,700 years later. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What an awesome story. If I could personally tell you, maybe in my mind, how I see this story taking place, it'd be like if God appeared to me on June the 11th, 1982. It'd be the day before my wedding. And God would say this to me, "Steve, Rochelle will cheat on you. She'll not cheat on you once, but she's going to cheat on you a lot of times. She'll even begin to do it for money. But I want you to stay with her. And I want you to see her through this thing. And I want you to love her anyway." I'm going to tell you what I would do, Beth. The wedding's off. My 74 Mustang would not have pulled in to Sloan Valley Church. I'm being honest. But do you know that Hosea knew up front what he was about to get involved in? And I want to say this. A lot of people believe that she's already like that. I don't. And I'm going to tell you why I don't believe she was like that already. Number one, God had commanded His people to stay away from those kind of women. Come on, He told them in the book of Deuteronomy. Those kind of women that were part of Israel were actually supposed to have been stoned. That went on in other areas of the world, but that was not part of Israel's life. There was no way you could have been a prostitute and been in Israel. It was against the law. Deuteronomy chapter 20 would teach you that. It's against the law. Number two, I believe, if you read in verse number 3 that we just read, that she bared him a son. I believe she was faithful to begin with. But I can tell you this. The fruit will always bear the root. Whatever the fruit is, it'll prove what the root is. Let me give you a good illustration. Not a true story, but a good illustration. There was a sheik over in the Middle East, and his father was dying. And his father gave him everything. The money, the oil, the obvious. Now this young man had never been nowhere. He'd never met any women. He'd been kind of sheltered from the world. And he had an important meeting in New York City. And so while he was there, he met a man and he told the man, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I don't know anything about the world. I don't know nothing about women. What I'd like for you to do is, I'd like for you to set me up on a date. And the man said, I got a perfect woman for you. She fit the bill for you. She's perfect for you. And he said, that'd be great. I'll have my limo pick her up. And sure enough, this big stretch limo pulled up in front of the motel, picked her up. They went out to eat. They went to another place, to a Broadway play. Then they went to another place and drank coffee and had pie. And at the close of the night, he looked at the lady and he said, ma'am, I'm going to ask you a question. This may be crazy, but I'm going to ask you a question. If I was to give you $1 million, would you spend the night with me? Would you go to my motel room and spend the night with me? She said, $1 million. He said, $1 million. She said, I would do that. They drank coffee a little bit later, and he said, ma'am, can I ask you one more question? If I offered you $20, would you have went to my room with me and spent the night? And she said, what kind of lady do you think I am? He said, we've already determined that. We're just trying to find out what your price is.
Amen.
And I want you to know something. I believe this woman had this in her root. And finally the fruit came out. And what happens in a lot of our lives is we have sin tendencies. But if we allow them to get fed on, it'll eventually come out. See, the Bible says as a man desires in his heart, so is he. If you want to worship God, and you want to serve God, it'll be in your heart. You won't be able to fake it. You won't be able to make it up. It'll be real and it'll be natural. It won't be something, listen, people say, it's hard serving God. No, it's not. No, it's not. Serving God should be something you want to do. When you've got to make yourself serve God, when you've got to force yourself to read your Bible, when you've got to force yourself to pray, when you've got to force yourself to go to church, I'm telling you there's something wrong with the roots. And the fruit will always show what the roots are. See, I was taught you look at the bark. But I tell you what, Brother Tom, I've been fooled by bark. And God never told us to look at the bark either. God said, by their fruit, Brother Correa, you shall know them. And I'm telling you what, this woman's fruit began to show. And Hosea married her. And you know what? She bared him a son. And everything was going wonderful, Beth, and things were good. He got a son. But you know what? If you read on in the rest of that chapter, he had more children. But the Bible does not say she bore them to him. I'm going to tell you what happened. She began to cheat on him, Brother Greg. She began to go out with other men. And before long, she didn't know who the daddies were, Brother Tom. You know what? We're living in a world like that. But you know what? God said, I want you to love her anyway. I want you to love her anyway. Now here's the problem. Hosea's having to live this life, Amy. But the problem was, God's trying to get him to see a bigger picture. Because there's a bigger picture. And the bigger picture was Israel. God's people. How many of you understand that you and I could commit adultery with God? How many understand what I'm saying? Do you know, how many of you know this? How many of you know that God's jealous? Well, you keep your Bible marked right there. Because some of you look at it and say, I don't believe God could be jealous. Go with me to the book of Exodus. I want you to read His words, not mine, what God says about Himself. God says this about Himself. Not Moses' opinion of God. This is what God says about Himself in Exodus chapter 20 in verse number 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Listen, you and I were created in the image of God. I can be honest with you today and I can tell you this. If another guy was to look at Rochelle the wrong way, I'd get jealous. I'd get angry. I don't like it. You say, well, preacher, that's a sin. I don't think it is. I think it's normal, Brother Scott, for me to feel that way about my wife. She's my wife. I married her. She's mine. God gave her to me. She's not for Tom. She's not for Jim. She's not for anybody else. I have a right to be jealous of that. I have a right to, for her, for myself. And the Bible is teaching you and I, as God's people, if we've been saved and we've committed our lives to Him, He has a right to expect me to give Him all of my attention.
Amen.
Every bit of it. Yeah, but preacher, I've got other interests. What if she had other interests? What if she had other interests besides me? Would that be okay? No, it wouldn't be okay. Well, preacher, that's wrong. Then why is it right for us to have other interests outside of God? Makes sense, doesn't it? But Hosea wasn't getting it either. And God said, you know what, Hosea? I'm going to help you understand really how I feel. But Hosea, really what I want you to learn, Hosea, is really how I love. See, to me, there's only one other story in the Bible that shows love more than this story. And that's that story. But I want you to see this story. Because I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if there's a person in this building who can live this story like Hosea lived it and do what Hosea did. But you know what? God is saying, this is how I love you. This is how I love you. And so I want you to see this story of Hosea. And bear with me, we're going to run through it. But if I could challenge you through the month of April, so just read this story. I'm going to give you a skim of it this morning and give you a few things to ponder over. But do me a favor. How many of you are still in the habit of waking up or whatever your reading time was? I was with Karen the other day and her alarm went off. It's time, my time for Bible reading and prayer. Listen, do this. Continue if you can. And read Hosea this month. This is an awesome story because it deals with you and I today. So here's Hosea. And Hosea, his wife begins to go off and begins to cheat on him. I want you to go to the second chapter with me, and I want you to see something that God does. In chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, are you all there? Hosea 2, 6 and 7. Say amen. Okay. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall, that she shall not find her path. Now listen, I think this is wonderful. What happens to you and I is we get to wandering. I'm talking about wandering off the path. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what? Direct your path, right? And so, sometimes we're going on God's path, but how many of you have ever had wandering eyes? How many of you have had wandering minds? And you know, you're going steady with God, and all of a sudden, you know, this looks interesting over here. And you start getting interested in that, and next thing you know, you're kind of off the path. Well, here's what God said He's going to do to this woman. She's going to go after other guys, Miss Ida, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a hedge around her with thorns on it. In other words, what I'm going to do is when she really wants to go, really, she ain't going to be able to. I'm going to put roadblocks in her way. Do you know what? God has put guardrails up for you and I. Now, you and I are bad about bumping into them, but sometimes we jump over them. Sometimes we crash through them. But I want you to know something. How many of you have ever been going off in the wrong direction, and you've hit some bumps. Almost like when you get, I love this new thing they fix on the road. Not that old blump or bump. I like that, don't you? I mean, it wakes you up. They're not coming on from the rock and I was roof. You know, and I hit them things, man, you're awake. I mean, they're good. And you know what? God does that for you and I. You and I get off track, and you can't tell me that it's easy off track. If you're saved, it's not easy. Preacher, Phil, it's been easy for me to be off track. You better check the roots.
That's right, amen.
Because the more I try to go, the more God works on me. I get guilt. How much guilt is? It's just a horrible thing. I mean, it just eats you alive. God's good with that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you what He does. He pushes a hedge around us and He tells us, hey, you're in the wrong place. I'm not going to just let you go without some guidance here. See, you and I got to remember, we're God's children. The Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth.
Right.
Some people are under the opinion, Brother Jim, that I can do whatever I want to do. Well, listen, Aaron can do whatever he wants to do, too. He can. Listen, I'm telling you right now in front of everybody on the internet, do whatever you want to do, son. That don't mean any consequence when he does wrong.
Amen.
See, you and I've got some things out of kilter here. Well, you know, you're saved and, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. Who said that? You can if you want to get a whooping. Because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. If you're God's and you're out here doing wrong and nothing's happening, you better check and see if you're God's. Because I promise you, if He does wrong, He's going to get a whooping. We still believe in whoopings. We do. We do at our house. We got a board. It works. And, oh, preacher, you're just horrible. I know. But that's just the way it is. We'll continue to be horrible. But I know that God doesn't just give you a timeout. Because I've had a God whooping. You ever had a God whooping? It's not a timeout, sitting in a chair kind of thing. You really know what's went on. I have. And all I do is and you know what? I'm so dumb, I've done them twice. I mean, I'm really dumb. I've done them more than three times. But every time, Miss Vicki, I know what I'm headed for. Every time I know what I'm headed for. Last time I dealt with Brother Wayne, I know this is what happened to me. And why am I so dumb? I don't know. But I was like that as a kid. It don't change. I got whipped more than once for the same thing. Any of you all? Well, listen, I probably guarantee that you're going to get whipped more than once for the same thing in your spiritual life, too. And so what we need to understand is, you ain't got a free reign here. God's got a hedge. He's trying to keep you in the fence. But you know what? You keep running and butting into it, eventually you're going to get out.
That's right. Amen.
And that's where the trouble is. See, the Bible talks in 1 Corinthians about those who are outside the church, talking about people that were members, and they strayed against God, and they got put out. And God said, you know, they're open for the devil. That's a dangerous place. I want to stay inside the fence.
Amen.
I might get in there and get shocked a time or two, but I don't want in the fence. Because I know it's where God's trying to keep me. And so, He tells Hosea, He says, I've got a war against her. Now look at this, what He says in verse number 7. He says, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then she shall say, man, this is so cool. I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Does that not sound familiar to anybody in here besides Brother Steve? How many of you ever read The Prodigal Son?
Amen.
He's sitting right in the middle of a hog pen. He's eating corn shucks. He's got manure over him. You know what he says? I want to go home. Man, when I was at home, I didn't eat this junk. And you know what? He got up. He didn't go take a bath. He got up, and the Bible said he headed back to that father's house. You know, this woman's out there just trashing up her life. And let me tell you how bad it gets. If you read the story, you're going to find out. Hosea shows up one day in town. Now get this, Brother Greg, this is your wife. Hosea shows up in the town, and there's an auction going on. And he looks, Brother Hamilton, and there stands his wife up on the auction block. Mm-hmm. And they're auctioning off his wife for money. And the price got up to 15 pieces of silver and a bag of barley. And he said, I'm in. Brother Scott, I wonder. You reckon Gomer recognized his voice? I know that voice. And Lona, he bought his own wife back. Somebody tried to tell me, well, that's a picture of salvation. Jesus Paul said, listen, she was already his wife. This is what I want you all to know today, as children of God. You and I got bought with a price, Jimmy. Jesus shed his blood. It cost some silver too. Judas sold us out, you know? But you know what it cost Jesus? It cost him his life. And he shed his blood for us. And every time I do wrong, Brother Greg, you know what Jesus said? I done paid for it. It's already paid for, Brother Paul Blanton. You go right on. Done got that paid for. You know, back on the auction block again. It's covered by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
But you know what? Tell me that Gomer didn't have some ridicule. Tell me she didn't have some guilt. Tell me she didn't have some shame. How many of you, when you have to go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness for those sins, you don't have some shame about you?
Amen.
Boy, I do.
Amen.
The Bible says come boldly, but you know what I find myself doing? I find myself on hands and knees crawling. Lord, I can't believe I said that. Lord, I can't believe I had those kind of thoughts. Lord, I can't believe that I looked at that. Amen. Come on. And you know what? It's a shame of doing it, but you know what? It's done been paid for.
Amen. That's right.
The blood of Jesus.
That's right.
And so what? He brings her back home. He begins to make her his wife again.
Mm-hmm.
See, Karen, you can't make somebody love you back. I've said, as I've been a pastor all these years, and I've marital counseling. A lot of times I feel like just quitting the counseling part of it. And I think, what's the use? I've sat across from couples and I thought, there ain't no way I'd take her back. But I know this story.
Yeah.
I think, there ain't no way. But I know about the love of God, how many times He's taken me back.
Yeah. Sure.
And I remember it. And I tell them not what I feel, but I tell them what God says. But this I know, and I've told every man this when his wife has took off with another man. I say this, you can't make her love you. I know you love her, but you can't make her love you. If she loves you, you hang in there. She'll come back eventually. She'll figure it out. Now if you can take her back, that's going to be you. But I want you to know something. Every man in town probably knew who Gomer was. She was the town tramp. But you know what? It was this man's wife. She wasn't a town tramp to anybody else. She was his wife. She wasn't a tramp to him. It was his wife. And listen, you and I in a spiritual sense, we are trampy sometimes to God. You tell me, you don't have to tell me out loud, but you tell me by looking at me, that you don't do things that you know embarrasses God. And you don't go to places that embarrasses God as His children should be. And you say things that children of God should never let come out of their mouth. Come on. You know that's right. But I want you to know something. You'll never do anything, Katie, that God won't still love you. Somebody told my son the other day that you can sin enough. If you're saved, you can sin enough where God will finally say, you're lost again. That's not a God kind of love.
No, that's right.
And that's what God is teaching Hosea about himself. He said, Hosea, don't you feel what I feel, Hosea? Maybe if you feel what I feel, then you can preach to these people how I feel. And Hosea watched. Can you imagine as he went to town and he'd see his wife over there with a bunch of men? I wonder how many times he went and brought her home. I think he did that a couple of times. He figured out that wasn't going to work. I can't make her stay at the house. kept having children. I mean, just who knows who the daddy was? In the name of the kids, if you'll look, prove that. But you know what? Hosea, you got to keep loving her. That's what God commanded him to do. You got to keep loving her. You got to keep loving her, Hosea. Because I tell you what, Hosea, Israel's done the same thing, and I still love them. They're worshiping other gods. They're making me sick to my stomach, but I still love them. And I want you to know how it feels. See, I don't think you and I can have a clue how God feels sometimes when we don't feel like serving Him. We don't feel like reading our Bibles. We don't feel like praying. Wonder if there's ever a time He doesn't feel like loving us. Nope. He don't know anything but love. God is love, the Bible says. Now, let me show you a couple more things. Go with me to chapter 4 of Hosea. Look at verse 6 and 7 here. See, I'm going to get you to a point. And I think it's the greatest point for all these couples sitting in here, for couples that's thinking about getting married, for couples that are already married, and for Christians. Look at verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me. See, thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore I will change their glory into shame. You know, that's almost a picture of our country today. The Bible said these people were going to be destroyed because of lack of knowledge. You say, preacher, we're smarter than we've ever been. I promise you we are, as far as education goes. I've talked to these young kids. They're smarter than we were in kindergarten. Me and Miss Smothers was talking the other night, and I said, when I was in kindergarten, we had nap time. I remember we took a little thing and rolled up. You took to school, to kindergarten with you. And you know, of course I wasn't one to ever take a nap, so I was always trying to slide around on my rug, you know, during nap time. And you know, I'd have to stand in the corner. You know, the teachers used to draw a circle and you had to put your nose in the thing. So my nose got this size. So I didn't have to stand on my tiptoes so long. I could just stick my head up. So I was in trouble a lot. Now kids are reading coming out of kindergarten. That's what you teach, Miss Kindergarten. And the reading coming out of kindergarten. Y'all have nap time? She said, no nap time. Man, things have changed. So surely we got more knowledge. No, that's not the kind of knowledge we got. No. We don't have the knowledge of God.
Amen, that's right.
We got people so smart in the books, but they don't know who God is anymore. And look what he said in verse 7. As they were increased, so did they sin. Think about what happened to us in the 80s. In the first part of the 90s. That's why we're in trouble right now. God increased us. He blessed us more than ever. I mean, people bought big homes. People spent money, bought big cars. And you know what we did? We went to church less.
Yeah, that's right.
And we sinned more. And then our churches started cutting back on services because we're so smart now, Brother Tom. You know, we just really need to have service once a week. We'll have some core groups through the week. Praise God for core groups. That should be on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. But you need to be in church on Sunday and Wednesday. You need preaching. We all need preaching. And we need the fellowship and we need singing. But you know what? Because we're so smart now in the Bible. Well, preacher, I got the Bible on my iPhone. I bet you read it a lot too. I got an app. Good. We're not knowledgeable in the Bible. Now, I got a point. I'm going to get there. And I want you to hang with this. He said these people are going to be destroyed by what? A lack of what? Knowledge. No lack of attending church. That's not why they're going to get destroyed. No lack of offering, but a lack of knowledge. Now stay with me because this is important. This has to do with marriage. Go to chapter 6 because here's the revival part. Chapter 6 verse 1 says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. You know what? As these marriages get torn, you know what God is saying here? I can heal it. There's nothing not repairable. Preacher, it's not repairable. Not in God's eyes. Come on, Nod. Get mad. Storm out of here. But I'm telling you, God is saying, in my eyes, nothing is irreparable. Take your mind too far gone. God said, whatever's been torn, I can put it back. Well, I can never get over it. Well, that may be between you and God, trying to work out that problem. But God is saying, when it's been torn, He says, I can heal it. I'm telling you, I guarantee God's been ashamed of me. I know He loves me like He always has. I don't have no fear, Brother Wayne, that God don't love me. I worry about Rochelle sometimes. But I'm not worried about God. I know He loves me. But look at this verse. Verse 6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Let me tell you what's happened. 2011. We come to church and we sing. And you know what? When there's extra things to do, we give money for that. We do. And some of you, I believe, honestly, do without so others can have, to help out in other people's lives. I believe that. I want you to tell what God said. That's not what I want. See, if you could have went back 2,700 years ago and walked into the temple, you'd have seen the smoke going up because two times a day, they're sacrificing animals. So you could pass by there any time and you've seen the smoke going up, Miss Mildred. But you know what God was saying? I don't want y'all to be sacrificed. Y'all not getting this. And everybody thought, you know, I got to sacrifice. I got to give something to God. You know what? Well, you know, preacher, I wish I could give to God like other people can. I hear that junk all the time. You don't know what God's wanting. God says, I don't desire that. I desire you to want to know me. Amen. So you know what knowledge is? It's got the word know in it. And I looked up this word in the Bible. And the Bible says that Adam knew Eve and bare children. Let me tell you what's going to help in your relationship, Wayne, what's going to help in my relationship and Dustin's relationship. Get to know your wife better.
Yes, amen.
Everybody's worried about buying them a ring. Rochelle's hands swell and get skinny so much, she can't wear hers half the time. She wakes up in the morning, I can't wear them today. So really, she's not desiring rings so much, Richard. Well, I'm going to get her a new car because her old one's crashed out here. And we will, in time. But really, that's not what she's wanting either. What she wants is for me to get to know her better. And the only way that happens is spend time with her. Here's what's happening in your marriages. Everybody's working, trying to make money so you can give your family what? Come on, tell me. A better life. I want a better life than I had growing up. We're crazy. What your wife wants from you men is to get to know them. That's what dating was about. But you had no problem just dating her. You'd put everything else off, couldn't you? Or you could get everything else done and still give her time. Well, honey, I can't go out tonight because I got some other stuff going on. You didn't pull that junk. Honey, could you come by and see me? Sure. Sure I can. I was working two jobs about a few months before we got married. I had two jobs. And I worked at the first one at 7 and got up at 3:30, went from 5 and then worked to 11. And so at 11 o'clock, I went home and crashed because I get a call. I miss you, Dave. I know you're tired and everything, but there ain't no way you could come by and see me for a minute, are they? They ever tell you no? They ever tell you no? Never told her no. Now, she had a hateful mom. Hope she listens to us on the internet. And sometimes I had to push my car out of the driveway and down the road because I didn't want to wake her up and know that I'd been there. That's right. Did some sneaking. But here's the deal. I wanted to get to know her better, Dove. I didn't care about sleep. Now we get home from work and... I ain't got time. That's what's wrong with your marriage. You don't know your wife anymore. You need to get to know her. Let me tell you what's happened to your Christian life. You don't know God. Oh, you're saved. But the Bible says you need to get to know Him better. And the only way you're going to get to know Him better is to read His love story book. He wrote it to you, by the way. Did you know that? This is God's love letter to you. He wrote it to you so you'd know how much He loves you, Sandy. You know what He wants you to do, Sandy? He says, Sandy, I want you to get to know me. Brother Steve's a nice guy and everything, but you get to know me. That's what He wants. He wants you to know Him. And what was wrong with that country? They had forgot who God was. Oh, they knew that that's who God was up there. But they lost that intimate relationship. I hear so many people say, I wish I felt like I did when I first got married. Well, listen, I feel better. I was scared to death that day. This is a lot better. We're just not like we once were. Well, you should be better. You should know a lot better by now. You should know it by now. By now all that root has come out and there's some fruit now. You really see the real deal. That's the same way in your Christian life. See, I said last week we need a revival, and I think we're seeing revival. You know what happened last Sunday night? Young man right here got saved before church ever started. I believe it was a result of us having revival in our minds and our hearts. And then Friday night, four others get saved. And I think Wednesday night a couple got saved, didn't it, Katie? And you know what? That's the result of revival. But I don't think we've started yet. And maybe we need to have a series of meetings later, but listen, we can't wait for a series of meetings to get started. We've got to get revived now. He said in this verse, come back to me. You're probably not going to be real excited when you come back to God and have to admit that you've been doing wrong. And I'm sure Gomer, when she was bought off that auction block, she wasn't really, I think she didn't run up and give her husband a hug, Scott. She wasn't real proud of all the things, but you know what? It was a start back home. When she got back home, I'm going to tell you what we read. They stayed together. See, why I said they were 65 years sitting on a blanket? For 50 years, she run around on him. Think of that, Doug. The first 50 years of marriage, your wife cheats on you. All over town. But the good times are at the end. Well, the last 15 years have been good. And I believe he loved her, Tom, with all of his heart. I'm telling you what, God loves you with all your heart today. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you need Him. Because I tell you, you'll not find love in this world like God's love. He loves you unconditionally. And if you don't know that today, you need to get to know that. And if you've fallen away from that and you realize you've really, in a way, you're cheating on God. You're giving Him other time that should be His time. You're cheating on Him. And He wants that time back. Maybe today you just need to come and pray for that. Revive me, Lord. Let me get back where I need to be and get to know God better. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today I thank You.